Hey, Coach.
How's
it?
How are you?
Decent. Good, thank you. Decent. I mean, second day, we thought the non-contact, you know, when you go twice, the second one's non-contact. It's hard to have a good practice when it's like non-contact. So last night I thought, you know, we got some things done, but the difference in yesterday's practice and last night's practice was marked, which is probably to be expected. I thought they came back and had good effort today. We got a couple guys dinged up, but I thought the effort was good. You can start to see a little bit of carryover in some of the things we're doing, but that's encouraging, at least to see, you know, to see some things happening that you're working on. But the effort was good. We're tired. You could see the guys are tired, and you can see it's hard to think as much as we're thinking right now. When you get to the point where you understand what's going on and you can kind of go out and play, you still have to think, but you basically just play. You've done it before, so you get a comfort level. We don't have that comfort level right now. Guys, like, you can almost hear them, their heads grinding, trying to remember which foot's supposed to be up, what am I supposed to do, stuff like that. But having said that, it was good. Again, I really liked yesterday. I really liked this morning. Last night was, you know, fair. But you're going to get, it's a short practice. It's a non-contact practice. That's probably what you're going to get.
Update on Delonte, where he sprained his ankle. How did he
do? I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even know. Mike, I'll find out from Mike. I should ask Mike. I don't think it's serious, but he rolled it in one of our drills. I think it was when we were playing transition defense, but I don't even remember.
Did that happen last night, or did that happen
today? No, he practiced most of the practice. It happened probably 12:30 or something. It happened late in practice, fairly late in practice.
Do you have a sense from past history how long that kind of thinking stage lasts or should last?
No, I mean, there really isn't a timetable that you can. I mean, you're especially going to notice it early in the year, and again, it's just something that not necessarily a veteran team, but a team with some continuity, you wouldn't have that quite as much. I mean, they're playing basketball. It's not like we're doing anything that different, but we're, you know, saying let's try and do something this way. So there's just not a comfort level in terms of when same play we ran last year, same defense we ran last year, same this we ran last year. You know, and again, not as an excuse for us, but in reality, Luke, Nick, some of those guys, it's the fourth coaching, it's the fourth different training camp where they're hearing new terminology and new people and stuff like that. That's very hard. It really is. And, you know, you contrast that with some of the teams in the league, particularly the better teams. You got the same players and the same staff have been in place for a while, so their training camp goes a little more smoothly at this stage early in the year. I mean, it's not just the way it is, but in fairness to these guys, you got to understand that. I mean, it's almost, you know, the guys who traded, it's almost simpler. They're coming in, you know, you figured they'd be the ones learning and the other guys would know what's going on. And it's almost a reverse situation here. The guys that have been here the longest are the guys that have heard the most different things in the last 3 years, which is really, backwards.
How are the rookies dealing with the learning, Durant and Green?
I think, well, I guess one of the things that's helping them is there's a lot of rookies out there. I mean, you know, it's almost like the rest of the group have come back to them in terms of the learning curve, so that almost helps them a little bit. Usually rookies just stand out because everybody else is comfortable in running and they know the drill and they're kind of saying do this, do that. There's a little bit of that, but there's more everybody looking at everybody else. So, like, we have more rookies than it appears. But so I think you don't notice Jeff and Kevin as much because there is, you know, their learning curve is pretty similar to everybody else's right now. We start playing games, and these other guys are going to get comfortable more quickly. You'll see the difference. Right now, they're really, you know, you'd have trouble picking them out. You know, they look as confused or as knowledgeable as anybody else.
How does Swift look for you, PJ?
I think he looks good. You can see that he hasn't played or that he's not 100% comfortable yet with pushing the body. I mean, I think he's making good effort. He's doing good things, but you can see he's not quite there. So it's, you know, see how quickly that's going to come. But I mean, overall, I think he's doing good stuff. We're just, you know, trying to be very cautious and make sure we don't push him too far. He has three great days of practice, you know, the first 3 days, and then he's out for a week because we let him do too much.
In terms of, back to Kevin for a moment, what have you noticed in the first three practices, Coach, that really stand out in terms of his game and how he's picking up the game?
Nothing that really stands out. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, you don't, you know, you only, we watch him a little bit, you can see that right away. But he's, it's learning. They're not really playing. It's not, you know, it's not like you get a chance to watch him and see. I mean, we've got him so restricted in terms of, you know, doing different drills. And you saw actually that was the first time we scrimmaged. And it was control, but that's the most they've gone up and down. That's the most basketball they've played, you know, in 2 days. So it's really hard to tell. I mean, it's just a lot of drill stuff. It's a lot of things that you're not gonna, I don't think you really notice. I mean, he's holding his own, but I would say I have not noticed him positively or negatively. I'm happy, but it's not like anybody's like, wow, look at this. It's all drill stuff. It's all, a lot of it is tedious and a lot of it is going very slow. And, you know, a lot of the things we did today that we did yesterday, they did much better. Some of the new stuff we put in today, it looked like new stuff. So, you know, and it'll be that way for a while.
In terms of him being, I'm assuming you've talked to him and off the court and things like that. What is he, I mean, in terms of being coachable, listening to you, have those been things that you've noticed about him?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that from day one. It'd be difficult to find, two young guys more coachable or more accepting of teaching and a better attitude than he and Jeff have. I mean, they're very unusual individuals. Not basketball players. They're pretty good basketball players too. But they're very, very unusual. They're very comfortable with themselves. They're very respectful. They came from good programs, even though Kevin was only in, at Texas for 1 year, and they come from good families, frankly. I mean, when you meet them and you get to know them better, I mean, it's real obvious. They've been well-raised and they've been well-coached, so they're very easy to deal with.
Do you traditionally like a 7-foot center, or are you open towards playing for that?
No, I would prefer to play big. If we can't, we won't, you know, and it's a concern because Nick and Chris played so well last year, and will, you know, I'm very confident they're going to play well this year. But I'd like to be able to have some, you know, more size on the floor at the five. We'll have size on the floor. We have some other guys who are pretty big, even at two and three. But I would like Robert and Johan and Mo to be able to give us some quality minutes in addition to Kurt and Nick and Weezy.
Is that what traditional shot blocker, is he the basis or is he the foundation of your defense?
No, I mean, it helps an awful lot. I mean, it makes a huge difference when you have an inside defensive presence. But the size alone, I mean, he's got to be an inside defensive presence. And it can't be such a thing where, you know, he's so good defensively, but he doesn't give you anything rebounding or offense. So, I mean, it's a whole factor. In a perfect world, yeah, I'd love to have a 7-foot inside defensive presence, but he's got to earn the minutes and he's got to outplay these other guys. If the other guys just play so well that we just decide we're better small, offensively deep, you know, offensively rebounding and even defensively, they rotate better, maybe some nights we give away a little bit in terms of matchups, but we're just a better basketball team. You have to play the better basketball players, but I think our three bigs happen to be very young, so we got to be patient with them. And secondly, we got to figure out, just what the future of the team is. If we don't play them, we're not going to know that. So you got to play people and find out not just what they can do this year, but what they're going to be able to do down the line. So for a lot of reasons, we're going to give our young guys, our young bigs, opportunity to play.
In like that last session, you had Mo and Johan on the court at the same time. Can they do that, or is that just more of a practice thing?
Practice thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying we wouldn't do it, but we only had two teams at the end, because when Delonte and maybe JJ was still here at the end. We only had two teams, so we weren't playing three groups of five. So just, I don't even know who ended up on the same team. I don't think those guys will play a lot of minutes together. But in the preseason they may. I don't think it will do it that much in the regular season.
JJ, what do you, your assistant with Chris Wilcox? I mean,
he's played well. He's done a good job. He runs the floor very well. He's very well suited to a team that runs, because he runs the floor so well. I think he's done a good job, and in the fast break, in particular, he's looked very good. I mean, he looks like he's very well suited to playing that way.
Can he play your defensive system at the four? I mean,
yes. Well, I think he can. I think anybody can play defense. I don't. People playing defense is not. That's not difficult. You know, they might have to get used to it, or they need to understand, you know, what's expected of them or what they have to do. But yeah, I'm not worried about whether he can. You know, I'm not worried about whether anybody can play. It's just a question of whether they will, or how, you know, how hard they're going to work at it. If they're as concerned with what they're supposed to do on the defensive end, then it'll be fine. Really, all they need is kind of an attitude toward we have to do that. Then it'll be fine.
How hot and heavy is the competition at the three?
I haven't even thought about it.
No.
Honestly, it is, but I mean, like, we're not even, literally, we're just trying to get practice to practice. And we do talk at the end of the meeting, hey, who looked good today? And yesterday, both practices was kind of the same. Everybody kind of shrugged their shoulders. It wasn't like, you know, as you get deeper into the year, you'll have a practice and you'll say, wow, this guy really had a good day. No one's saying that now. And no one's distancing themselves from anybody else, and nobody's burying themselves right now.
Obviously, by Tuesday, you have to roll out some type of a starting lineup. You'll sort of tend to start going that way by when?
I won't at all. We'll go. We're playing different groups. Like, they had different groupings today than they did yesterday. I haven't even thought about what we're going to do. We may take five guys and tell them they're not going to play in sack, or three, or, you know, I don't know what the number will be. I would think we'd probably lean toward playing the veteran guys more than the young guys. We'll probably lean toward, obviously, playing guys who are healthy. If we're a little concerned with some other guys, we won't play them. So, particularly the first five, at least, exhibition games, it's going to be a lot of playing different people, looking at different combinations, and not trying to juggle. I always hated exhibition games, or whatever they're called, preseason games, whatever the hell you're supposed to call them, from the standpoint of trying to figure out who to play. It's just so much easier when you say, all right, we don't have 15 guys in Sacramento. We've got 10 or 11. And tell the other guys that, and we'll work them out in the morning hard, and they'll have a night off, and then we'll have a different 10 or 11 for Cleveland, and a different 10 or 11 for Indiana. And then I'm sure we'll do the same thing for the Lakers and whoever our first home game is after that. Maybe as we get to that trio where we play the home game and then we go to Portland, then we go to Phoenix, we got to start narrowing it a little bit. But it won't be in terms of trying to play eight guys. It'll just be in terms of seeing what kind of condition guys are in, and we're going to have to put a starting lineup out there against Denver. So, but I would think at least the first five are going to be everybody gets a chance to play and see what happens.
Can you talk a little about Damian Wilkins, your assessment of him, and how you see him fitting into this team?
I think he's played well. I think he's played more two than I would have envisioned him playing. I was thinking of him more three-ish, not as much two. He looks like he can play either position, which is good for us. He's looked good, at, you know what I mean? So we've put him at two. So I think I would have had confidence that he could guard twos, but I mean, he's looked comfortable there. There's not a big difference, to be honest with you, between the two and the three, but I was thinking of him more as a forward, less as a guard. I think I'm thinking of him more now as he can play either position.
In terms of all the other issues about the relocation and things like that, how do you as a coach keep this team focused, and what do you do to keep them focused?
I swear, I think I was asked it in media day. I don't think anybody asked me yesterday, and I had not thought about it since media day. It really is not something that we will think about. I mean, yeah, when we, you know, we come to a home game, and I expect our fans to still be the way, you know, the way they've always been, be really good, be really supportive. I expect them to show up because they've always shown up in Seattle. I don't think we'll think about it at all. I think if something happens and they rule in the case, or they, you know, whatever the legal proceedings or whatever happens, then we'll go, oh, you know, then we'll react to it. I literally had not thought about it in the last, whatever it's been, 48 hours since media day. I'd be shocked if any of the players have, and I'll be shocked if they do, unless something earth-shattering happens. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, here's a decision, then I think they'll react. I don't think it's going to affect what happens on the floor. And I'm not minimizing the situation, mm-hmm. but it's I don't think it's something that anybody will invest any thought in or think about. All right.